Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O my daughter, who were born in a respectable family, how have you degraded your consciousness in this way? How is it that you are shamelessly maintaining a paramour? You will thus degrade the dynasties of both your father and your husband to hellish life. Purport. It is quite clear that according to Vedic culture, a woman who accepts a paramour or a second husband in the presence of the husband she has married is certainly responsible for the degradation of her father's family and the family of her husband. The rules of Vedic culture in this regard are strictly observed in the respectable families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas even today. Only the Sudras are degraded in this matter. For a woman of the Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya class to accept another husband in the presence of the husband she has married, or to file for divorce, or accept a boyfriend or paramour, is unacceptable in the Vedic culture. Therefore, Saryati, who did not know the real facts of Chavan Muni's transformation, was surprised to see the behaviour of his daughter. I think I've been set up. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So with your permission and blessings, I'll try to share some thoughts on this verse and purport. Of course, these purports have been very strong, very heavy, and for some very difficult to digest. But in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is actually teaching us a beautiful principle, an amazing principle. In the world we're living today, relationships is a big thing. Everyone's talking about how we can have deeper relationships. Even what to speak of outside ISKCON, even within ISKCON, there's a lot of talk about how we can have deeper relationships. Actually, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving us the cardinal principle, the most important principle, one of the most important principles to having deep relationships. And the principle that Srila Prabhupada is bringing out in this purport is the principle of commitment. Without commitment, there is no question of a deep relationship. In fact, the depth of any relationship is in proportion to the amount of commitment that is given in that relationship. That is the principle given by Rupa Goswami. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explained, there is sadhana bhakti, there is bhava bhakti, and then there is prema bhakti. Bhava bhakti means ecstatic love. Prema bhakti means pure, unalloyed love. But before there can be any sense of bhava or prema, there must be sadhana, which means committed, regulated, disciplined, dutiful action. So this really is the principle of relationship building in the world. It doesn't matter what relationship it is, whether it's a relationship in the material world, whether we're talking about a relationship with Krishna. Deep relationships come when there is commitment. Here, Srila Prabhupada is specifically referring to the relationship of husband and wife. And here Srila Prabhupada, for some, makes a very strong statement. He says, for a woman of the Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya class to accept another husband in the presence of the husband she is married, or to file for divorce or accept a boyfriend or paramour, is unacceptable in the Vedic culture. Here Srila Prabhupada is underlining the key principle that a woman must be committed to the husband. In any relationship in this world, there is always friction. There are disagreements, there are arguments, there are quarrels. But we have to learn to not take those so seriously. Like Chanakya Pandit says, two goats fighting, a thunder clap in the morning, the funeral ceremony of a sage, and the argument between husband and wife. All of these four things, they begin in grand style, in a big way, but they end in insignificance. In other words, Srila Prabhupada in his lectures, he would say, if a man and woman, if a husband and wife have an argument, there's lots of shouting, and then after an hour, everyone's forgotten about it. And life goes on. We don't hold grudges. Yeah, you see this principle actually, like, for example, if you go to India, like once I was in India and I was in a car, and then right in front of me I saw these two cars having a car crash. So anyway, then this taxi driver decided to also stop and see, you know, what was going to happen next. So these two men who had crashed their cars, they both got out of the cars and they were really shouting at each other. I mean, they were gyrating and they were swearing and they were... So I was watching the whole scene, and within 1.5 minutes, there was a crowd of about 50 people around them. And the 50 people around them were just as vocal as these two guys. They were all taking sides and they were saying, no, no, no. And everyone was totally into the argument. Anyway, then this taxi driver was also watching, so I thought, anyway, now he's stopped, I'll go and get some water. So I went to the shop, I got some water. It took me 5 minutes to go to the shop and get some water, and by the time I returned, the whole scene had changed. The two cars were parked up, and I looked over, and these 50 people were all sitting at a tea stall. And they all had a chai, and they were all sitting together as they were the best of friends. And I thought, hang on, how is this possible? You know, like 5 minutes ago, these guys were just on each other's case like anything. And then they just forget about it and life goes on. This is a very important principle in the world we're living in today. People hold so much grudges or bad feeling when there's some argument. You know, like just the other day on Saturday, I was in Kenilworth, so we were doing some book distribution. I stopped this lady, she took a book. And then just as she was leaving, there were tears in her eyes. So I said, what's the problem? She said, can you pray for me? I said, yeah, what's the problem? She said, 2 years ago, I had an argument with my best friend. And we haven't spoken since. So this weekend, I'm going to try and go and speak to her and repair the relationship. So can you say a prayer? So I said, yeah, I'll try my best with whatever I have. So it's like that in this world. People have an argument and then they never forget. You know, you may be having a conversation with someone in the heat of the moment, and then they bring up something 3 years ago or 4 years ago that you couldn't even remember, but they remember all the details. Because that's the way it is in the world today. Here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, husband and wife, there must be commitment. Even if there is some friction or disagreement or argument, they must remain committed to each other. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving on the driveway, and I was going out of the manor, and there was a wedding in the marquee. So as I drove past, I was hearing the wedding priest. It might have been Saurabh, actually. And the wedding priest, he said something amazing. He said, Vedic culture means... The wedding priest is full marquee, and he said, Vedic culture means not that you marry the one you love, but that you learn to love the one you marry. I thought that was quite wise. Very wise. So it's like that. It's not that first we have the experience of love and then we make a commitment. No. The principle of Rupa Goswami, the principle of relationship building is make the commitment. Make the dedication to the other person. Then the love will come. First comes the commitment. Learn to love the one you marry. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining this point very, very wonderfully, that between a husband and wife there must be commitment. And not just between husband and wife, in any relationship in this world. It will not work if there is not commitment. Take the relationship of mother and child, for example. So mother and child, Prabhupada said many times that the love between a mother and a child is the purest form of love in the material world. Ever wondered why that is? Because the commitment of the mother to the child is unparalleled. The child may be obnoxious, unreasonable, illogical, badly behaved, but the mother is always there. The mother never gives up. Right? Prabhupada said that even if the child is blind, then the mother still calls him Padmalochan. Oh, lotus-eyed one. That's the vision of the mother. One time I was in a town outside Nottingham called Ilkeston. So I stopped one lady, she was 80, she must have been 70, 80 years old, old lady. So I explained to her about the books and she was really interested. So anyway, she took the books and I said, tell me something about your life. So she began to narrate a little bit about her life. So she said, when I was 19, I got into a relationship with a boy and I fell pregnant. So, you know, my whole family, they were all telling me, you know, maybe you should have an abortion or, you know, you're too young, you cannot, you know. But she said, I didn't feel that was right. So I had the child. She said, when I had the child, a very unfortunate thing, the child was born with cerebral palsy. So the child was disabled. And the doctors told her that the child will be like this for the whole life. So as soon as that happened, the husband left. And she said, to this day, I've never seen him again. So she's 19, has a child, child is disabled and will be disabled for the whole life. So he said, my whole family were saying, you know, you should give the child away. You cannot do this. It will be too much for you. But she said, no, I made that commitment that God has given me this child, so I should take care of this child. So she said, when I was 19, I began to take care of this child. I bathed my daughter. I fed my daughter. I clothed my daughter. I went shopping for my daughter. My whole day, 16 to 18 hours of the day, was just centered around looking after my daughter. So my life went on like this. So I said, all right, okay. I said, what do you do now? She said, I look after my daughter. So I was looking at this lady and she was like 70 or 80 years old. So I said, you're still doing this? She said, yes. I said, how old is your daughter now? She said, next month my daughter will be 50. And my jaw dropped. I thought, for 50 years, to look after a child like that, 18 hours a day. I said, I pay obeisances to you. I'm praying to you that the commitment that you have shown to your daughter for 5 decades, if I could have a similar commitment in my spiritual practice for the next 5 decades, hopefully I'll be up there, you know. Incredible. Incredible commitment of a mother to a child. And that's why the relationship is so deep between a mother and a child, because the commitment is very, very deep. So whether it's husband and wife, mother and child, even peer to peer, friendships in Krishna consciousness, friendships between peers are based on the commitment that they show to each other. Just like one of the most famous stories of friendship in the Shastra is the story of Krishna and Sudama. So as we know, Krishna and Sudama were at the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. And in the, I think, 80th or 81st chapter of Bhagavatam, 10th canto, this whole pastime is described of how Sudama comes to see Krishna. And when he comes to see Krishna, they're reminiscing about their childhood. And they're reminiscing about the time at which they were in the Gurukul together. And Sandipani Muni had told them, go out and get some firewood. So Krishna and Sudama went out to the forest and they got some firewood. And in the process of getting the firewood, they got caught in a huge storm. And as they were caught in the huge storm, they found some shelter in the forest and they were waiting there until the storm was over, and Sandipani Muni came looking for them. But it said that when Krishna and Sudama were there in that bit of shelter in the forest while the storm was going on, then with their two hands, with one hand each of them were holding the firewood, and with the other hand they were holding each other. And the commentators on the Bhagavatam explain this is spiritual friendship. On one hand they hold each other's hand, there is commitment to each other. But what is that commitment to each other based on? The other hand, the firewood, which signifies the mission, the service of the Guru, the service of God. Friendship in Krishna consciousness is based on committedly serving together to serve the mission of the Guru, or the mission of our movement. And where that commitment to serving together to please the Guru, to please Krishna, where that commitment together is happening, then a friendship will go very, very deep. If Krishna and Sudama were just walking through the forest holding each other's hands, just that wouldn't be complete, because they never forgot the reason that they were brought together and the purpose of their life, which was to serve the Guru. So even we see that friendships in Krishna consciousness also require great commitment. It's very difficult commitment in this world, because we live in a world of constant change. Everything is changing all the time. Yeah, your gadgets change, fashions change, the arts all change. Everything is changing. People can't even stay in a job for too long. Like my father was joking with my brother once. He said that I had 3 jobs in 30 years, my father said. And even that was a lot. Normally people just have a job for life. But my father said to my brother, I've had 3 jobs in 30 years. But he said, you've had 30 jobs in 3 years. And it's like if you go for an interview or something and you've been in the same job for like 15, 20 years and you go for an interview, people look at you a little strange, you know, like, was it some problem? Like, are you dysfunctional? Or are you not ambitious enough? You know, because people just don't value that. Staying and doing the same thing for many, many years, it's just not valued anymore. So just as we change our gadgets so easily, we change our fashion so easily, so also in the world we're living today, people just change their relationships so easily. Oh, the friendship with this person, oh, I don't like him so much, there's this problem. Okay, forget him, let's try another person. And then when it doesn't work out with that person, oh, forget that person, we'll try it. So like this, we're just renouncing friendships very, very easily in Kali Yuga, because that sense of commitment is not there. Yet these friendships are vital to Krishna consciousness. Deep friendships with Vaishnavas is very, very important. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, is that verse? Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha. Krishna Prema Janma Teho Puna Mukhya Anga. That Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula, the very root of beginning devotional service, Hoya Sadhu Sangha, is the association of Vaishnavas. But then Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna Prema Janma Teho. And even when Krishna Prema comes about, even when one reaches the stage of Krishna Prema, Puna Mukhya Anga, this principle of friendship with Vaishnavas, association with Vaishnavas, Puna Mukhya Anga remains the Mukhya Anga, remains the most principal limb of devotion. So as good Vaishnava friendships are essential for the beginning of spiritual life, to start Krishna consciousness. They're essential in the middle of spiritual life to maintain your devotion to Krishna. And even in the perfectional stage of Krishna Prema, Puna Mukhya Anga, they still remain the most vital Anga of Bhakti. So like this, friendships are very, very essential. Shri Prabhu is here and he always tells us the African saying, if you want to walk fast, then walk alone. But if you want to walk far, then walk with many others. Yeah. So it's like that. Sometimes they are, I don't need all these people, they're slowing me down, I just need to. But for the sustenance and endurance of devotion for an entire lifetime, friendships are essential. So any relationship, let's take another type of relationship, guru and disciple. Guru and disciple relationship is only as deep as the commitment that is invested in that relationship. Srila Prabhupada is the prime example. He met his guru very few times, but the words that he received, he based his whole life around. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj met him once at Radhakund, and a few words he said, if you ever get money, print books. And Prabhupada said, I followed that instruction with my life and soul. Prabhupada said, in this regard, for this instruction, I followed my guru blindly. He committed his whole life to that. Someone may say, oh, that was just a few insignificant interaction, don't take it like such a big thing, you know. He said that, it's not such a big thing. But Prabhupada, no, he had that faith and he committed himself to those instructions. So in that service to the Guru, that commitment of service to the Guru, the relationship is going very, very deep. Just like one time, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who was managing the Bhaktivedanta Institute, BI, he came to Prabhupada and he said, there's so many problems in the institute. You know, people have different opinions, different ideas, everyone's fighting. And, you know, and as he was offloading all his problems to Prabhupada in Prabhupada's darshan room, so many other people were coming in with problems that were going on in the worldwide society of ISKCON. So Bhaktisiddhanta Damodar Maharaj had his list of problems in BI. And then he realized, my God, if in one small wing of ISKCON there's this many problems, imagine the problems that are going on in the society as a whole that Prabhupada has to deal with. So he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I can't even manage the problems in Bhaktivedanta Institute. This is one small little wing of ISKCON. How are you managing all the problems in ISKCON? And Prabhupada just smiled and looked at him and he said, I don't see problems. I only see service to my Guru Maharaj. In other words, you were so committed to the service of the spiritual master that there were no problems. He was just seeing service and that opportunity to be more and more committed to the order of the spiritual master. Therefore, Prabhupada said of the spiritual master, he lives forever in his instructions. And the follower lives with him. In other words, the depth of that relationship with the Guru is dependent on how much one is committed to the orders of the Guru. Like in Niti Shastra, it's explained that you can learn certain things from a dog. Next time you see a dog, you can remember. These are the things you can learn from a dog. The first thing, to be fully alert with very little food or sleep. See, dogs, they don't need so much. And even if they've been starved, they seem to be like fully energetic. That's the first thing. The second thing you can learn from a dog is that when you're awoken in the morning, Jai Shishu Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai. Second thing you can learn from a dog, when the dog is awoken in the morning, immediately the dog is busy. Fully awake. Like for some of us, we wake up in the morning, we're down for Mangal Arati, and then we probably wake up around Guru Puja time. Right? It takes a long time to wake up. The dog immediately, you see dogs like that, you know. It's like the other day I was in Nottingham, and I saw a big issue guy on the street, and I've seen him because I know him for years. So I went up to him, and I didn't realize that his dog was in front of him because it was like sleeping, the dog. So the dog was there. So I didn't see the dog. And I just walked up to him and I shook his hand. And as I shook his hand, I immediately stepped on the dog. And it was this huge bulldog. And then immediately when I stepped on this dog, it was just like, whoa, you know, this is a huge barking and stuff. And then I looked back and I was like, oh my God, you know. And then I was talking to him and then the dog was just fully alert. For the whole, you know, for the whole conversation after that. So a dog, you know, immediately when you wake it up, fully alert when it wakes up. Then he said another thing you can learn from a dog is bravery. You see that on the street, there's like a small dog and then another big dog passes by and this small dog is like barking at the big dog, you know. You think like, you're no match, you know. But dogs are very brave. And then it said, Chanakya Pandit says, the other thing you can learn from a dog is absolute loyalty to the master. Complete loyalty. The attention doesn't divert anywhere else. So like this, guru-disciple relationship is going deep based on the commitment to the orders of the spiritual master. And then we can see, let's take the relationship between ourselves and Krishna. That relationship also is only going deep if there is commitment. Just like it said that the vows of the Goswamis were like lines on stone. When they made a commitment to Krishna, they didn't do a U-turn. They stayed committed. Such amazing Vaishnavas. Take for example Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was staying on the banks of Manasi Ganga. Every day he was paying 1,000 obeisances to Govardhan. Every day he was doing parikrama of Giriraj, 24 miles every day in Vrindavan. Vrindavan heat, intense. Every day he was doing the parikrama. Every day he was chanting many, many rounds. And even in his old age, when his deity Madan Mohan came to him and said, now you're very old, you don't need to do parikrama anymore. Sanatan Goswami said, no, I should carry on. And then out of great love for his devotee, Madan Mohan manifested a Govardhan Shila and presented that to Sanatan Goswami and said, it's okay, if you just circumambulate the Shila three times, then you've done the full parikrama. So you'll fulfill your vow. Don't worry. Amazing dedication. You take Raghunath Das Goswami. Every day, 1,000 obeisances to Krishna. On top of that, 2,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Think like 2,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Even in the morning when we have to like, you know, there's that period where, you know, Tulsi Aarti ends and then you have to bow down like 3 times in a row. By the third time you're thinking like, oh no. And then you just kind of bow down. You're doing it properly. 2,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas. 1,000 obeisances to Krishna. 100,000 names of Krishna every day. He said that Raghunath Das Goswami was sleeping for less than 2 hours. 22 hours of his day was just engaged in bhajan. That's commitment. Haridas Thakur, what was his commitment? 300,000 names of Krishna. Haridas Thakur's life is amazing because there you see, nothing could shake his commitment. If you look at what generally shakes our commitment in Krishna, usually it's 3 things. Sense gratification, sickness, or suffering. Isn't it? When you have some opportunity for sense gratification, then Krishna goes a little down the priority list. Or when there is sickness, difficulty in health, then it's difficult to chant, difficult to read. Or where there is some suffering in life, something bad happens. Somehow it's difficult to connect to Krishna at that time. Haridas Thakur, was he affected by sense gratification? He was given the opportunity for the greatest sense gratification. Not once, but twice, the most beautiful prostitutes came to him saying, I want to enjoy with you. He remained committed to his devotional practices. Did suffering affect Haridas Thakur? He was beaten in 21 marketplaces by the Muslim magistrate. All he had to do was give up the chanting and they would have let him go. I cannot give up the chanting. It doesn't matter what suffering comes to me. I must continue my chanting. And did sickness affect Haridas Thakur? When he was at Siddha Bakul in Jagannath Puri, he was so sick. He was so sick that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, I'm now telling you, reduce your number of rounds. Your body is diseased. You've done your bit in the world. You can now relax. Haridas Thakur said to him, my disease, my real disease, is that I have no taste for the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, how can I give up the chanting of the holy name? I must develop attraction. Therefore, I must continue with this vow. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the determination of a devotee for chanting should be so strong that even if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came to you and said, stop chanting, you still wouldn't stop chanting. That is the commitment. So we see the great Vaishnavas, so much commitment is there. That's why the word guru means heavy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, why is the guru heavy? The guru is heavy because nothing can budge the guru from the service to Krishna. Nothing will divert them from remaining dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore the Bhagavatam says, Sadhavo ridayam mayam, sadhanam ridayam taham, madanyate na jananti, naham tebhyo managapi. The devotee is within my heart, and I am within the heart of the devotee. Why? Madanyate na jananti, because the devotee does not know anything but me. And therefore I do not know anything but the devotee. This is the commitment between a devotee and Krishna. So therefore, if we want our relationship with Krishna to go deep, then there has to be commitment. It's said that vows are very easy in the beginning because there's freshness, there's novelty. And vows are very easy in the end of spiritual life because there's natural love and taste. But in the middle of spiritual life, there's no freshness left, and at the same time, there's no taste. Natural, spontaneous love for Krishna. Therefore, in the middle of spiritual life, to continue on with commitment is very, very difficult. And therefore, a devotee has to be able to have this determination to continue on with their devotion, even when times are difficult. Because that commitment will make the relationship with Krishna much, much deeper. So, just to summarize, time is moving on. In this verse, Srila Prabhupada is making the wonderful point that there should be commitment between the husband and wife. And commitment is the basis for any relationship. Whether it's husband and wife, whether it's mother and child, whether it's friend to friend, whether it's guru and disciple, or whether it's between us and Krishna. The basis, if we want deep relationships, is we must be committed. We must continue on. So therefore, we can take this very wonderful lesson from this purport of trying to become more committed in what we've done. Generally, we are hesitating to make any commitment in a relationship. And even when we've made the commitment, then it's very, very difficult to honor that commitment. But these commitments, especially the commitment that we make to Krishna, is actually our greatest wealth. Once Krishna was in Vrindavan, and he saw that the gopis had many, many pearls. So then he went to Mother Yashoda and he said, I also want many, many pearls. So I have one or two pearls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to plant these pearls in the soil. And then more pearls will come about. Mother Yashoda looked at him and said, no, I'm from a Vaishya family. I'm from a farming family. I know how it works. You don't get pearls by planting pearls. Krishna said, no, it's possible, it's possible. So that very day, Krishna went away and he planted the pearls. And lo and behold, the very next day, there were many, many bushes with many, many pearls. And it said that these pearls that we plant are the pearls of the commitment we make to Krishna. We make a commitment to Krishna and we take that invaluable, priceless commitment and we honor it. We carry it out with devotion, and over many, many years, eventually those commitments will bear fruit and a very, very wonderful spiritual life, prema, Krishna prema, love of Godhead. Hare Krishna.